yeah, the numbers are whirling round, which means I'm recording. Hello, folks. It's been a while since the last recording. I'm not quite sure whether this is the April or May podcast. It'll probably be a bit of both. And it's going to be a bit stripped down. I'm going to mention a few things, and there's only going to be one podcast link, photography link. Well, it's actually a video link this month. But it's a goodie. But there's only one. And then what I'll do is I'll do another podcast later in the month and just go through probably some of the Northumberland pictures that I'm about to sort of like talk about. But I'll go about them in a bit more detail and maybe pick a couple of my favourites and talk about them and how they came about. So, oh, and there's also a bit of website news and some news about the social media side of it. So we'll get on and talk about Northumberland, which I went to in mid-April. Always being a favourite county of mine. It's the most northerly county in England. It borders Scotland. And it's quite diverse. It's farmland, it's moors, it's quite high hills, Achieviot Hills at the top, bordering Scotland. Rugged coastline, castles. I always think it's a bit of a hidden gem, really, because it's tucked up right in the northeast corner of England. It maybe doesn't quite get the credit that it deserves. Very historic county. The history is fascinating, involving invasions and criminality and all sorts of things that used to go on in the border areas at that time many centuries ago. But I was up there just sort of like having to wander around for a week, and it was great to be back. The last time I'd sort of had a wander around in those sort of areas was, well, I was going to say actually 1992, but there was a trip that I did in about 2006-07. So it's not quite as long ago as I thought it was. But while I was going around, especially near somewhere like Bamburgh Castle, which I took a photograph of many years ago in 1992, with the sunset behind it, and just going along this road and just noticed that there was a sand dune and thought, I think that's a sand dune that I was actually on top of to get the photo all of those years ago. I remember it quite distinctly because I was getting, there was lots of midges about, and they seemed to take an interest, and were not particularly biting, but they were swarming about a bit and being a bit of a nuisance. So I always remember that from taking that shot. But Bamburgh Castle and Dunstanburgh Castle, two of my favourite castles, just for the locations. They've been used in lots of TV and film productions over the years. Bamburgh I've taken a few times. It's quite accessible. Dunstanburgh, the last time I went anywhere near there was 1992. So we're talking over 30 years ago. And a lot's happened since then. And I was quite surprised by how easy it was to get a good viewpoint to take the castle image that I finally got. What happened was he arrived in Craster, and it's basically a small Northumberland fishing village. It's known for its kippers smoking, and they smoke the fish there, and never actually tried one. That's still something that I've got to do. But when you go there, they've got this very sort of like tidy small harbour that was built for them over 100 years ago. And I usually have a walk out on harbour walls. It's a good way of getting next to the sea without actually getting on a boat. And I walked out to the end, and then all of a sudden I realised that I was looking sort of like down the coast at Dunstanburgh Castle, and it sort of had a timeless quality. The waves were coming in, splashing on the rocks. You know, the waves were actually, you know, quite rough. And I just thought, you know, this is going to make a great photo, even though the weather wasn't particularly that great. But that kind of adds to the moodiness in the picture. So I took a few shots of that, which I'm really pleased with. And they're on the Instagram feed, and they're also available on Redbubble as prints. So I managed to achieve that goal while I was there. And the other thing I also managed to do was get out to the Farne Islands on a boat. And again, that was another one where you get on board the boat and you don't realise, you realise that it's going to be rough out there, but because you're having to use a telephoto to get quite close to things, it became quite a challenge to make sure that the framing and the timing matched up so that you were able to achieve photos. And I was having a look through them when I got back home, and I put them onto the computer screen, and I was really pleased with the results. The composition, you know, was quite well timed in a lot of them. It was just a case of just, you know, just making sure that you press the trigger at the right time and just frame the best you can, and then just hope that your timing's on. And fortunately, mine seemed to be. I wasn't actually that interested in photographing the birds, although I did, because to a certain extent, you know, you need far bigger zoom lens. You need a far bigger telephoto lens, really, to do the wildlife justice there. I managed to get a few shots that I was pleased with. But I think, you know, probably focal length double what I had at the time, which was 200mm, just isn't quite. Even though the boat gets quite close to the rocks so that you get a good view of the puffins and the guillemots and things, it still isn't quite close enough with the 200mm. You can get some good shots, but I think, you know, if you had something, 400 or maybe even 600. But then you would also have that problem of framing everything. Could be tight, quite tight in the viewfinder. So that could be quite a challenge as well. Although, to be fair, it was a lot less bouncy near the islands. So I was pleased with the results of the photos from that. So like I said, most of the images are on Redbubble. I'm working on adding them to Instagram slowly. I'm probably going to add another one tonight. And then I think it's about probably adding a gallery to the website, which I've started on, but really need to do some more. But the images are pretty much ready, and I'll just put some text together. I might even try and find some of my shots from 1992, and I'm sure there's a few knocking about from my 2006 trip, I think it was, maybe 7. Like I say, it was quite weird when you drive around a place and you go, oh, that's is the road that I went down to get to the caravan site, to the campsite that I was staying at, you know, 15, 20 years ago, something like that. It's quite an odd sensation. But like I say, you know, it was great to be back in Northumberland. Didn't manage to get to see everything. There's a few things that I managed to miss out, mainly due to tides and times and things. I would have loved to have got over to Lindisfarne, Holy Island, but it was just that the tides were in a bit of an inconvenient early morning sort of like slot, and you don't want to end up being stuck on Holy Island for quite a few hours because the tides come in. So I think that's for another time, I think. But anyway, I will dig out a few of my favourite shots and talk about them in a bonus podcast. And I will try and get that recorded for later this month. So the other bit of news is a bit of housekeeping to do with the website. Now, the website over the years has sort of like started to use quite a lot of plugins, and some of those plugins were getting a bit outdated. Some of them were no longer being looked after by the developer, so they weren't receiving updates. And I thought it's time to sort of like clear some of the older bits and pieces from the site, slim it down a bit, make it a bit more lightweight. And that's what's going on at the moment. And it seems as though it's working quite nicely. It's rather sad to see some of the plugins go, because they've been on the site literally for probably about 7, 8, maybe even 10 years, some of them. But if they're not being updated, then eventually something's going to break somewhere. It might not happen now, but it will certainly happen at some point in the future. So the idea has been to try and use as much of the theme tools as possible. The other thing that seems as though it's taking more of the load is the Jetpack plugin, which anybody who uses WordPress knows that it's like a sort of like bundle of plugins altogether. You get statistics and it has some social media tools and things like that. And I've decided, you know, to start using more of that because it's installed on the website, and that seems to be working well as well. So it's going to be interesting to see whether I can take any more plugins and lighten the load a bit more. But certainly the website seems as though it's enjoying itself a lot more. It's a lot faster for a start off. It's a lot quicker moving about. I think that there was quite a lot of drag taken off. So the other thing that was replaced was the Instagram plugin. Now, fortunately, I used two on the site, which was a bit of an indulgence. But the main reason for that was I found that one worked well in one sort of area and the other one worked quite well in other. Well, it turns out that one of them has the support for it has been discontinued, and it was time for it to go. So it went. So I've gone back to the first Instagram plugin that I started using, and that just powers all of the Instagram sections on the website now. So that's fantastic. At least I didn't have to go around sort of digging around for a new plugin, which sometimes is not always easy. So I think the website, I'll carry on doing a bit more, trying to make it a bit more lightweight, make it a bit faster, make it a bit more streamlined, and we'll see how that goes. Twitter. So Twitter is no longer being updated automatically whenever I post anything from any of the blogs to Twitter because of various different changes made. The Twitter API, basically, you have to pay for access now. And a lot of the a lot of the tech companies aren't willing to do that. They don't see it as a viable thing to pass on to clients and things. So they've stopped it. In some ways, I actually think this might be a good thing. It may mean that I end up using Twitter the way that I used to initially, which is, you know, basically post everything manually. And that might be the way to go. To be honest, I'm a bit up in the air about Twitter at the moment. It's a social media platform I've used for a long time. I've been using it since about 2009. And, you know, it's been incredibly useful, but I don't know what sort of like direction it's heading in. And I don't really want to invest too much more time if I'm going to leave the platform or decide that, you know, the platform is no longer for me. There's been a few changes that I haven't been very positive. So I'll have to see about that. But that's certainly one to sort of like, that's a problem for me to consider over the next few weeks and months. The other one that's been receiving a bit of love is Instagram. There's been the Northumberland shots going on there. It didn't really get that much photography put onto the social media platform last year. And quite honestly, anybody who's listened to these podcasts will know that I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Instagram anyway. I do with most social media platforms, as we probably all do. But I'm kind of just, you know, posting maybe 2-3 times a week, something like that. And that seems as though it seems as though it's going okay. So, you know, that's the main thing. So that's about it really for, you know, that bit of news about what's going on with the website and the social media feeds. It seems as though it's a moment of transition at the moment. There's a lot of old technology that's sort of like going out and new stuff that's coming in. And I think that's basically what it is. Both my WordPress and social media things have sort of been around about a decade. And I think probably it's natural that now it's sort of changing a bit. And you know how we don't like change, humans. We're human beings don't really like change that much. But you just got to go with the flow, haven't you? So we'll just see how it goes. Right. And the link, I'm going to mention the link, and it will be in the show notes. Only one, and it's for a YouTube feed. It's Acme Cinematography. It's something that I came across recently, and it's some great cinematography done via drone, just flying along through where the American railroads run. So we're talking California, Nevada, those kinds of places, and brilliantly put together, brilliantly edited. The sound quality is absolutely fantastic. The music put in there is great and evocative. And even if you aren't into railroads or anything like that in the United States, I found watching them is actually quite calming. You know, it's, you can grab a cup of tea, put the video on for about 40 minutes, half an hour, something like that, and just switch off. So it's a bit of a recommendation for me. If you like trains, it's even better. But I don't think you have to like trains. I just think you can just soak up the atmosphere and just enjoy them just as a one-off watch. So that's it. Thanks very much for downloading and listening to this podcast. I will be back later this month with a bonus podcast talking about Northumberland and anything else that whizzes through my head. So until then, thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you all next time.